Are you willing to do for the truth what others are willing to do for a lie? Not kill people, not do suicides, but to go all in for the cause. I so believe that the gospel is transforming, and it is the best message ever, that I'm not going to let the best news become the best kept secret.
How often do you share the good news of Jesus Christ? What comes out of our mouths is really coming from our hearts. Can you truthfully say that the people around you get a good dose of Jesus? Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig explains just how important evangelism is. After the teaching, Skip and Lenya talk about an opportunity you can be a part of to share the gospel with kids around the world.
And we were in a group one day and we said, can you imagine as we build these playgrounds, at the top of our playgrounds, we carve out on top of them love in the language of whoever it is, Assyrian, Babylonian, whatever it is, and we leave it up there. And in our mind, as a playground went up, there's a black flag, but we'd put up the white flag. His banner over me is love.
Does your spiritual life seem a little bland? Learn to savor moments with Jesus with this month's Connection resource. Here's Lenya Heitzig.
Jesus will pull away from you if you are seeking him for just stuff and not salvation. Now, does he take care of our physical needs? Yes, but let's keep the main thing the main thing.
For a suggested donation of $35 or more, you'll receive 4 booklets by Lenya Heitzig that give practical steps to take when you face temptation, show you how to face your trials with joy, teach you how to forgive when you don't feel like it, and instruct you on what to do when you're tempted to use your words to hurt. You'll also receive Lenya's book, Live Tastefully, an interactive 10-week Bible study that examines meals Jesus shared with a wide range of people, emphasizing hospitality and cultivating God-given spiritual and physical hunger. This resource will help strengthen your walk with Christ as you go about your daily life. Order now by calling 800-922-1888 or by visiting connectiononline.org/offers.
We invite you to mark your Bible in Acts chapter 2. And as you do, we join Skip as he begins today's teaching.
I heard of an ophthalmologist in Dallas, Texas, who performed cataract surgeries. He had an ingenious way to witness. After the surgery, when patients would come back for follow-up exams and they would have to see if they can read things and see things, they have to go through a series of tests. Instead of the standard ophthalmological line that they had to read, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country," this ophthalmologist switched it out with the words, "God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." And so he would say, can you read that? What does it say? Say it out loud. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And he said, invariably, patients would say, well, doctor, what is that plan? And he had an opportunity to share. That's creativity. Another one that I personally know of is a gal named Barb. She used to go to my Bible study in Garden Grove, California, when I taught there years ago. She was a cute little brunette at the time, single, and she was an expert pool player. I never met anybody who could beat her in a game of pool. It's what she was trained at. She was doing it professionally. So she would go into bars. She would hang out there, and young men would come and try to pick her up. "Hey, baby, can I buy you a drink?" And she would smile, and she said, "Tell you what. Let's play a game of pool. The condition is this. If I beat you in pool, you have to listen to what I have to say. If you win, I'll sit and let you buy me a drink." She never lost. She had many opportunities to lead many young suitors to faith in Christ. She brought some of them to the Bible study. That's creativity. Or you could be like the man last week who came to me after a wedding that I performed. It was at the reception, and he said, "Come over here." And he took me over and introduced me to his wife. And when I got there, he said, "Tell my wife how to get saved." So I did. And she did. Let me give you a third. There's local church evangelism. And really, this is the thought, I believe, of the text before us. It is a combination of, number one, mass evangelism, and number two, personal evangelism. It's local church life. In the life of the local church, it is the natural outreach. The worshipers become those who are witnessing. That's That's part of what is going on. It's really the cycle of evangelism. I would define the cycle of evangelism as worship should lead to witness, and then witness should lead to worship. Now, the ones who have done the most research on evangelical Christians in our country is the Barna Research Group. They do this every year. They have done it for years. And the Barna researchers look at what Christians believe, what they think, what they do, how they go to church, how they don't go to church, what they do with their faith. And they have noted this, that 55% of born-again Christians claim to have shared their faith with a non-Christian in the last 12 months. That's the trend in the last decade. 55% of born-again Christians claim to have shared their faith with a non-Christian in the last 12 months. Now, they'll also say that 95% of all born-again Christians have never led a person to faith in Christ, but at least most of them are trying, 55%. Interesting, the highest rate for evangelism in America, guess where it is? Right here in the Western United States. It's the highest activity of evangelism. The lowest evangelistic activity is in the Midwest, so we need to pray for the Midwest and send more people out that way. Also, I found this fascinating. Whites, that is Caucasians, are less likely to share their faith than blacks or Hispanics. I don't know why we're so reserved, some of us, but those are the stats. I don't really know why. But I love the way we do it together, and I believe we do it together. You sow seeds, you plant seeds, you water seeds, you tell your friends. You are doing the work of an evangelist out in this community faithfully in an ongoing way. And then from time to time, you'll invite people to church. And we're all fishing together. You really do the baiting and the casting, and I just throw out the net and people come. So it's all of us together doing the work. That's local church evangelism. Now, let me show you a great example of that. And that's why I had you turn to 1 Thessalonians 1. Let's scoot over there really quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is an excellent example of a New Testament group that actually did this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel, Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you have become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Now, compare verse 5 and verse 8. In verse 5, it says, our gospel did not come to you in word only. That is, the gospel did come to them. And the gospel did come to them in word. It was preached by Paul, but not only in word, but also in example. He lived it among them, but it came to them. And then in verse 8, it says, for from you the word of the Lord sounded forth. So in verse 5, it came to them. In verse 8, it flowed through them. That's how it works. What comes to you must flow through you. Otherwise, you just create a Christian ghetto. It's all about what we do and we're together, our little church activities, but not here, not here. What happened here is that receivers became transmitters. They received the truth. They believed it to be the good news, so much so that they wanted to tell other people the good news. It flowed to them, it flowed through them. And by the way, if you look at the words in verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord sounded forth. Sounded forth is one Greek word, exeketai. It's from the word echo, echos in Greek, a reverberation. The word picture is the gospel made a loud boom in their town by Paul's preaching. They received it, and then they reverberated it. They echoed it through the canyons and valleys of the area around them. Now, I dare say if all churches were faithful like Thessalonica, the world would have been evangelized long ago. John Stott wrote, "I know some churches which haven't seen a convert for 10 years or more. And if they got one, they wouldn't know what to do with him or her or it. So extraordinary would this phenomena appear to be to them." So that's so much why I love you guys. You love the world. You love the lost of the world. And we work together. So it's a divine work. God does the work. He does the adding. But he also uses us to do it. It's a cooperation. Second, it's not only a divine work, it's a double work. Look back at verse 47. "And the Lord added," what does it say, "to the what?" He added to the church. "The Lord added to the church those who were being saved." Now mark that. He didn't just add them to the church without saving them. And he didn't just save them without adding them to the church. He did both. When he saves you, he adds you to a group called the church. Down in South America, there's a group of people, students, who are disenfranchised with churches. They are disillusioned by what they call organized religion. I've heard that. You've heard that. That's what people say when they don't want to go to church. "I'm not into organized religion." They say we're Christians, but they call themselves Cristianos Descolgados. Unhooked Christians. We're not hooked to the church. We're not part of that. We're pulling away from that. I understand their sentiment. However, from a New Testament point of view, salvation and belonging to a church go hand in hand. I want you to see that. Go to chapter 5 of the book of Acts. Just turn a couple pages. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 14. It bears that out. Acts 5, verse 14. It says, "And believers," so these are saved people now, "believers were increasingly added," what does it say? "To the Lord." Not to the church. It says that in chapter 2. But here it says, "They were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." So who were added? Believers were added. Believers were added to the Lord, but the Lord added the believers to the church. See how it works? When you come to Christ, you belong to God. But you know what God does with you once he has you? He puts you in a group. He puts you in a family. You're added to the Lord. The Lord adds you to the church. So the true church then is a group of saved people. Let's not hide that fact. We're saved people. I've never really liked the approach of many churches in what's called a seeker-friendly church or a seeker-friendly model. Let's be seeker-friendly. I'm not saying we should be seeker-unfriendly. But the idea of a seeker-friendly church is let's create an atmosphere that even unbelievers feel comfortable in. So let's not sing about the blood of Jesus Christ or get too gospel-heavy, but let's make unbelievers feel comfortable. I think it's the wrong approach. What saved people need to do as they gather together is be fed the truth to be equipped to reach people. I'm glad unbelievers come, but the church exists primarily to worship God and to equip believers. We need to be more concerned about feeding sheep than entertaining goats. I think that is a New Testament model. Now, evangelism helps goats become sheep. That's why we go out there. But then the sheep come and are fed. And fed sheep, in turn, go out and evangelize the goats. The goats become sheep. They get fed. Those sheep go out to the goats. The goats become sheep. They go back. And it's that cycle. That's how evangelism works. So it is a divine work. It's a double work. And third, and I'll close with this, it's a daily work. It says again in verse 47, "The Lord added to the church daily." Look at that word, daily, or literally day by day, it says. Day by day, the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. I love this. To them, evangelism was not a sporadic event. It wasn't like It's Evangelism Sunday. Every Sunday was Evangelism Sunday. Every day was Evangelism Day. They're out in the communities. They're all doing the work together. They're sowing the seed. They're watering it. They're living the example. They're bringing people in. So they started with 120. And then Peter preached. Now there's 3,120. And then later on, as we get into chapter 4, it says 5,000 men were added to them. That's not counting women and children, we think. So you have 120 plus 3,000, that's 3,120, plus 5,000 is 8,120. And then it just keeps growing. So pretty soon they drop the how many people are coming, and just says multitudes and multitudes came. It tells me two things. Number one, somebody back then was counting. So if you think, well, it's unspiritual to actually give numbers. Well, somebody in the book of Acts, in the Bible, is counting and putting it down. But more than that, it tells me the most important thing is this. There are never enough saved people. There are never enough saved people. There's always more that need to come. Church is never too full. Well, our church is getting full enough. No, it's not. Listen, we have four services. I've told you this before. Keep bringing them till we have to do eight services. It's a good way. That's a good way for me. It's a good way to die. It's a good way to go out. If that's what it is, what a great way to go. Besides that, I have a number of support staff. We'll have no problem being able to fill that. Jesus put it this way. In the parable of the wedding, the wedding feast, Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. There are never too many people in heaven. And it's our opportunity to fill the house for eternity. J.C. Ryle, Bishop Ryle, said the highest form of selfishness is a man who is content to go to heaven alone. I don't know how they figured this out, but somebody tried to figure out how many unsaved people are on the earth, and they came up with whatever their calculations were, but they gave a visual. They said, you could make a line of people, unsaved people would form a line that would go around the entire globe of the earth 30 times. And the line is growing miles every single day. So through evangelism, we have the opportunity to plant the seed, to sow the seed of the gospel to those who are literally standing in line to go to hell. And is it possible? Could we actually do this? Could we actually do this? I want you to listen to this. This is true math. It has been figured that if, and I don't know how many saved people are in this room, you might say, well, everybody's saved, but I'm not that naive. I don't think everybody necessarily who comes to church really is saved. But let's just assume that there are only 12 believers, saved individuals on the earth right now. Only 12. But those 12, like the 12 apostles, say, let's win one single person to faith in the next 12 months. In the next year, we'll each pray and be part of the process of seeing one person come to faith. So by year two, after the first year, now you have 24, not 12. If they all covenant together by the same, in year three, you have 48. And as that exponentially increases, within less than 30 years, the entire world will be converted. It's incredible to think. But I want you to think of this in lieu of what you have heard about going on in Paris. And this last year or two, what's going on with ISIS in the Middle East. The world is watching a religion where there are people involved in an aspect of this religion that are willing to go all in for what they believe. They are so committed, they will uproot their families and move to the caliphate and just start anew because they believe in this cause and they're willing to pay the ultimate price, their own suicide and unfortunately the death and carnage of others. The world is watching that. Here's my question to us. Are you willing to do for the truth what others are willing to do for a lie? Not kill people, not do suicides, but to go all in for the cause. I so believe that the gospel is transforming And it is the best message ever that I'm not going to let the best news become the best kept secret.
We have an opportunity to share the hope of Jesus to the world. That's something we should take advantage of now, since we won't be able to in heaven. Now let's join Skip and Lenya in the studio as they share about one outreach that is sharing the love of Christ.
Lenya, we have the joy of sharing at these broadcasts every day with our listeners, and it's been fun for me to be in the studio with you and sort of get your take, knowing our history so well and knowing the Word as well as you do. But you started a ministry that reaches out to a special group of people that need to hear the good news of the gospel. Mm. And it's been something that has been gaining a lot of legs recently and a lot of incredible opportunities. It's called Reload Love.
Yes.
And I want you to tell us briefly about it, give us an update, and tell us how we can get involved.
Well, Reload Love helps arm children impacted by terror with hope. And so that really is the goal, that we help kids. And so the thing we've been doing lately is building these playgrounds, turning battlegrounds into playgrounds. And what I'm so thrilled about, I've told really sad stories, but this is kind of an exciting story. Mount Sinjar. If I just bring up Mount Sinjar, because you're pretty, you know, savvy on
that's the
history.
Flashpoint. That's the epicenter of the whole ISIS thing over there in the Middle East.
ISIS came in and bam, that Mount Sinjar. What happened is they separated Yazidis, this tribal group that are neither Muslim, Christian, Jewish. They told the people, you know, men one room, women another room. You lame and infirmed and young and old, go up Mount Sinjar. And then they killed the men, and the women were made into trafficking. And so it caused this humanitarian crisis on top of Mount Sinjar. It was kind of like killing fields. They brought helicopters in because ISIS had surrounded it. They were dying of thirst and hunger. And when the helicopters came in, they were trying to put those kids on the plane.
And we have a friend who was on one of the helicopters, and they were shot at
and
almost lost their lives.
Sammy?
So
anyway, Reload Love has prayed for a few years, Lord, what are we praying for? What are we asking for in the kingdom of heaven, in the spiritual realms? And one day, he kind of gave me this insight. There used to be this thing we called the Iron Curtain. And the Iron Curtain was kind of geographic. It was also political. It was also spiritual, that the communist bloc in Eastern Europe and Russia, you couldn't get the gospel in, and there was some stuff going on. But the Iron Curtain fell. Gorbachev knocked down that wall. And then there was this bamboo curtain where you had Southeast Asia, China, Laos, Cambodia. You worked with Living Waters with so many other Mark McAllister to try and smuggle Bibles into that area. So again, it was geographic. It was political. It had a spiritual element. And that has fallen. We can now bring Bibles into China. We asked the Lord what's happening in the Middle East, and we felt like he told us to pray against the black curtain. And when I say black curtain, to me, it was that ISIS flag that is black. And as you know, reading some of the eschatology of
Islamic eschatology.
Muslim, yes, that the black flag means something to them in their eschatology. They want to create a caliphate, and the caliphate is geographic. There is a landmass. It is religious.
It's getting ready for the Mahdi.
That's right.
Their ruler.
So they want to rule and reign, and there are these passages in their writings that says when you see the black flag coming across to Al-Quds, which is Jerusalem, it's kind of like, look out. And so we started praying about this, at seriously taking on warfare. And we were in a group one day, and we said, can you imagine as we build these playgrounds, at the top of our playgrounds, we carve out on top of them love in the language of whoever it is, Assyrian, Babylonian, whatever it is, and we leave it up there. And in our mind, as a playground went up, there's a black flag, but we'd put up the white flag. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And so 2 years ago, when all this was happening, and we were saying, let's put playgrounds wherever God will open them up. Someone said, what if we put one on Mount Sinjar? Well, guess what? This winter, we're putting a playground on Mount Sinjar. And so up where this atrocity happened, we are going to put a playground for the kids. There are still refugees up there, and they will have a banner of love. They will have this playground, an opportunity for hope, a future, imagination, and there'll be a sign at the bottom, Jesus saying, let the children come to me.
Tell us the website. Which is it?
Go to reloadlove.com. Check it out. We have so many great videos on there. You would love meeting some of these kids and hearing the stories. And please give whatever you can. Pray for us.
We're encouraged when we hear reports of transformed lives. One Connection listener said, "Skip, I've been blessed to listen to many of your teachings in the past several months. Honestly, yours may be the first expository teachings I've heard in over 20 years. You can help us make the resources and teachings from The Connection available to more people. Will you partner with us? Visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to make a one-time or regular monthly gift."
Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Skip begins to wrap up our series where lives are changed, calling us as believers to be more available to the people in our lives.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.